last week we discussed, or last Tuesday, we discussed from 1.10.17 until 1.10.30. So we discussed about in detail, we heard feedback from everyone and points from everyone and discussion about this quality of shyness that is there amongst the deities and how it's very important. And different people came up with different ideas on how they can, you know, how we can follow this principle of shyness. And we ultimately understood also, we discussed the reasons. So some of the things that came up was that we can dress, start with dressing appropriately for the temple, wearing Indian outfits, try to wear more saris, try to tie our hair. And then gradually also it will start reflecting in other parts of our life. And also we discussed that some of us may have the conditioning where we were not grew up wearing only Indian clothes. So then, and then sometimes you have to balance with the outside world also, where you have to go out in certain places where you would not be able to present yourself in an Indian outfit. So we also discussed that how we can learn how to balance that. And I mean, we can also dress in a chaste way, even if we are wearing Western outfits or anything else, we can still try to be as chaste in our mind and as covered up in our appearance and also in how we are behaving with other people. If you're really chatty, you're going to attract more attention. So we discussed some of those points, and then we discussed that gradually, as we try, we will be able to change some of these things within ourselves. And then regarding how to bring it about in children, there were two points that were discussed. One of them was that whatever we do, the children will follow. And Guna Rupini brought up points from some discussion that she heard when Radhakrishna Prabhu was addressing the youth, and he was asking the girls to dress properly, and then how they were commenting when that so many of the Matajis themselves don't dress properly and come to the temple. So they were talking about that. So then the point came about is that the ladies, that for the children to do anything, we must be a good example. So don't underestimate the power of your example over what you say to them. So it's important to set that example. And Rupali Mataji also got about this point, that we also not just have to teach them like this, but we also have to teach them about respect, because shyness and respect go well together. It's important that they learn how to respect others. So we discussed some of those things, and now we are on text 30. We read text 30 last week, but we will just read it again. We'll just read the translation, because we read the Sanskrit last time. Just give me 1 minute. All right, so I haven't been able to find the meanings of the word despite their being without individuality and without purity. So I know about without purity, but I didn't understand the apasta pesalam, without individuality part. I looked at Virgin Prabhu's book, and I also looked at my notes from the Bhagavatam classes that we did with, that Radhakrishna Prabhu taught us. So I think we failed to ask him this question. Oh, actually, I have that note. Okay, so we'll discuss this. So all these women auspiciously glorified their lives despite their being without individuality and without purity. Their husband, the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead, never left them alone at home. He always pleased their hearts by making valuable presentations. So here, the without individuality part is that these women were in the prison, and they were in the prison without their own choice. It was not that they chose to be with Bhamasura. They were fallen into the clutches of Bhamasura. So they did not have an individual choice in that matter. So that is what it means by individuality. And without purity means, it refers to the, again it refers to their princesses, because they were considered fallen, because they were under the clutches of another man. So the Vedic culture was such that if even a man, if you're under the shelter of another man also, you're not you cannot be taken by somebody else. You're already considered that this man has taken you. So that's why these ladies were considered that they were in the prison. They were considered so fallen because they were under the shelter of another man. They were considered impure. And but still, in spite of the difficult situation they were in, you know, it sounds very glamorous. Wow, they were in the prison and they were praying to Lord Krishna. I mean, what would you and I do when we would be in the prison? Would we be praying like that? Would we be, or would we give in to the demands of the person whom we are in the prison, under whose prison? Right? But these ladies had so much faith in the Lord that they glorified their lives by praying so sincerely to the Lord, and the Lord reciprocated with them completely, and He accepted them. So we have to understand one thing, that the Lord is always there to reciprocate with His devotees. So that faith is very important to develop. We must develop that faith, and that faith will not just come like that. There are two ways and three ways in which the faith will come. One thing is, if you don't have that strong faith, be very careful that you associate with people who have a very strong faith in Lord Shri Krishna. Association does not mean hanging around with devotees. There will be different devotees of different types. You want to associate with those who have very strong faith. You want to serve everyone, but you want to have your association with devotees who have extremely strong faith and who are following the principles very nicely. It may be uncomfortable for you to be with them all the time because you may feel as if you're not following the principles and those devotees are following the principles. So you may feel less and it might be uncomfortable, it might feel like pressure. But we can deal that also with humility, knowing that, okay, this is my level and I'm going to aspire to become like this person, I'm going to aspire gradually. But doesn't mean just because it puts us in a position of discomfort, we just associate with those who are not following much. Right, just because it makes us feel comfortable. It's important to learn how to accept your own discomfort and accept, you know, where you are in devotional lives and also move further. So the faith first way it comes is by associating with those people who have very strong faith. The second way in which it comes is by reading Shastra. When we read Shastra, when we read about these women, we must feel we must feel connected with them. We must imagine, suppose we were in that situation, then the Lord would definitely reciprocate with us if we prayed so sincerely. So all these examples are there of there's so many women examples in the seminar God is My Anchor. One session was just about how the Lord has reciprocated, especially with the women devotees of His. And we just took entire examples from Srimad Bhagavatam, right from these women under the clutches of Bhamasara to Yashoda Mai, to Draupadi. In such a difficult situation, he helped her, to Uttara. We already read about Uttara in the 7th and 8th chapters. You know how he protected her. And then the wives of the Brahmanas, then the gopis, and then how the Lord had, and Kunti Devi, and also the prostitute in Mathura, how the Lord has individually reciprocated with these women devotees when they called out for him. So when we read such things, then we come to know the nature of the Lord. And we understand that, no, the Lord is always there for me. I am not alone. Krishna is with me. So that's the second way in which we can develop a very strong faith. And the third way to develop the faith is to be very attentive to the different arrangements that are happening in your life. There was one devotee, very senior. He gave me and my husband a tip. He said, whenever you feel that some divine arrangement happened in your life, write it down. Or some arrangement where you would have been in a very tough situation, but suddenly the situation just changed and everything became okay for you. Write all those things down where you notice the Lord's reciprocation and you notice the Lord's care for you. So when you write it down, so one thing is you think about it, then you observe it. A lot of us observe it, but we forget. But when we write it down, it helps us more because it gets ingrained in our mind. And while we are writing down, we are again feeling those same emotions of those strong feelings of gratitude that we experience because of the Lord's arrangement in our lives. And then, also when we are in very difficult times and we are not able to feel the faith and we are losing hope, then we must go back to read all those different experiences where the Lord has helped us. And then we must read about the pastimes of these devotees. So that gives us the faith that, no, the Lord will help me, and whatever will happen for me, it may seemingly materially may not be good, but I know that eventually when His plan will be revealed, it will be very nice. So we have to develop such faith so that we can also become like these devotees. It's not that we are like these devotees right now. We are reading about them so that we become like them. So that's very important. Text 31. एवं विधा गदान्तीनां स गिरा पुरयोषितां निरीक्षेणानिभिनन्दन्ना सास्मितेनाययौ हरी. While the ladies of the capital, Hastinapur, were greeting him and talking in this way, the Lord, smiling, accepted their good greetings and casting the grace of His glance over them. he departed from the city. So it's not that because they were in the background, the Lord did not reciprocate with them. I really like this verse very much, because they were not in the main area where everyone was there and seeing the Lord depart. They were there upstairs on the terrace and they were watching him from there. But because the Lord personally responds to the desire and the heart of each and every devotee, he reciprocates with them. So when I read this verse, I also remember one incident. One time His Holiness, I heard this story from someone. So one time, one disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami saw His Holiness Radhanath Swami looking at a painting of Lord Shri Krishna and with Radharani and all the gopis very, very intently. So then that devotee thought that I must ask Maharaj, you know, what is Maharaj seeing in this painting? Because how the Prabhupada disciples see the paintings, you know, what experience they might be having or what they might be feeling. So he asked him, Maharaj, what are you seeing in this painting? So then Maharaj said, I am looking at this gopi who is right at the back. She is so completely at the back, but still she is so satisfied. And she is so satisfied then because she is so happy and so satisfied just being at the back. And Krishna is also reciprocating with her. And she's also fine whether or not Krishna reciprocates with her. She looks so satisfied, just so happy having that relationship with Krishna. So it's wonderful to see that. You know, so then we have to develop such things. Some of us may not be in very prominent services. Some of us may be doing some things where we may not be getting any appreciation. Or sometimes we might be doing some service very nicely, very sincerely. But then the people in the service don't treat us very well. They may thank you for whatever you did, but they may still not treat you very well. I mean, it's a paradox. I don't get it. But still, we must know that I'm doing this for Krishna. And if I am sincere, I know Krishna is watching me. And I know He's personally reciprocating with me. So we all need that. We all need to know that. You know, someone is there for us. Krishna is there. He's the fairest of them all. He's not going to cheat you. He's not going to give you less than what you deserve, and he's going to personally reciprocate with each one of us. So we must develop this kind of a thought process, and then make our devotional service very personal to the Lord, where we are constantly thinking about how I can please the Lord. Otherwise, if we just do service in a mechanical way, it's not going to work. But when we do it, I'm doing it here to please the Lord with the faith that Krishna is there. And when we feel such experiences about the Lord's presence, then the Lord becomes more real for us. Right now, it's theory, but when we feel and we remember that experience, then the Lord's presence becomes more real for all of us. And so we must try to develop a personal relationship with the Lord through our chanting of the Holy Name and through the services that we do. So the chanting of the Holy Name, where we know the Holy Name is Krishna and we're chanting for Krishna's pleasure. And we're grateful to get the opportunity to chant, and we chant in order to develop a relationship with the Lord, because that is the only way to develop that relationship. And we serve thinking we're serving personally. So in each service that we do, so say if somebody is, you know, cleaning the pots in the temple, you know, so then, oh, you know, these are Krishna's pots. In these pots, all the prasad, the bhoga is cooked and it's offered to the Lord. And then all that is distributed as His remnants to everyone. So I want to be able to, I want to clean these pots very nicely, so that I can serve the Lord very sincerely. Or if you're cleaning the temple, or if you're dancing in the temple and dancing for the Lord's pleasure. So yeah, one thing about shyness I want to say is that, I said this sometimes, but the where we are dancing in the temple is also something that we must consider. Dancing in places where it might get us a lot of attention, or it might, you know, we are becoming more prominent in some ways, then we must be careful. We must be careful. Harivilas Prabhu is not going to tell us where to dance, and He's not going to tell us you shouldn't dance here and you shouldn't dance there. But try to at least dance where you're not blocking people and the Prabhuji's from coming to take darshan of Srila Prabhupada and offer obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. And also, so I know there is not much place in the Sunday feast and all those things are there, but if we are creative, we can find place even in the front, but still behind Srila Prabhupada, like still not right in front of Srila Prabhupada. So we're not, we must be careful about this etiquette as we grow in Krishna consciousness. All right, going to the next verse. Ajata Shatru Pritanam Gopithaya Madhudvisha Paribhya Shankita Snehat Prayumta Chaturanginam. So Maharaj Yudhishthir, although no one's enemy, engaged four divisions of defense, horse, elephant, chariot and army, to accompany Lord Krishna, the enemy of the Asuras, demons. The Maharaj did this because of the enemy and also out of affection for the Lord. So he engages four different divisions of defense. He's not, they're not saying nuclear bomb, drone, and other ways of attack that are there right now, right? And why is he sending them? Because he doesn't want any enemies to trouble the Lord. But it's an irony because Maharaj Yudhishthira has no enemy. Everyone has surrendered to him. And Lord Shri Krishna himself can subdue any enemy. But the Maharaj does this because he wants to show his affection to the Lord and he wants to protect the Lord. He wants to do that as a king. He wants to take care of the Lord. So that is his etiquette of taking care. So the basic, Prabhupada writes down in the end, the basic principle for all transcendental exchanges between the Lord and his devotees is exhibited to enjoy a transcendental bliss for which there is no comparison, even up to the level of Brahmanda. Okay. Can somebody call Ekta Mataji and ask her why is she calling me? I can't take this call. Okay. Just give me 1 minute. Am I still on the conference call?
Hare Krishna. Yes, Mataji, we can hear you.
Okay. Thank you. Next one, text 33.
So Mataji, should I call Ekta Mataji?
Yeah. You can call her and then whatever message she has, you can type it in Skype for me so I can read it. Yeah. Text 33. Atha duragatan shauri kauravan virahaturan shannivartya dhridam snigdhan prayatsva nagarim priyai. Out of profound affection for Lord Krishna, the Pandavas, who were of the Kuru dynasty, accompanied him a considerable distance to see him off. They were overwhelmed with the thought of future separation. The Lord, however, persuaded them to return home, and he proceeded towards Dwaraka with his dear companions. So this is love in separation. And it's like also this loving exchange. So when you're in, I mean, here we don't get that opportunity that much, but when somebody is leaving, we in India, you will at least see them till the door, if you're in a bungalow. Or if you're in a building, then you will go down till they sit in the car or they get the taxi or the auto or the rickshaw. Till the end, till you can be, you will be with that person. So here, even the Pandavas are like that. And plus, they are so overwhelmed with the thought of future separation. So the Lord, however, tells them, okay, now you go home, you know, I'll go now. You know, so in the train also, when somebody comes to drop us in the train, we'll tell, no, drop me at the station, I'll go in the train. But then our relatives will come, they'll find a parking in Bombay, it's so difficult, but they'll come, they will sit inside, they'll adjust all the luggage, then they'll sit inside, and they will get up only at the last minute when the train is just starts sometimes, or has just about to start when the signal goes on. So they don't leave, and we will keep telling them, no, please go now, no, it's okay, I'll go now, don't waste your time, but they still want to be there. So all these are loving exchanges, and they improve the quality of our lives. Right? Text 34. Just 1 minute. Yes. Guru Jangala Panchalan Sura Senan Sayamunan Brahma Vartam Kurukshetram Matsyan Saraswatanatha Marudhanvam Atikramya Sovira Virayoparan Anartan Bhargavopagach Shran Tavaho Managvibhu. Can somebody please read the translation for me? Hare Krishna? Okay. Yes, Hare Krishna.
Can I read the translation?
Yes, please go ahead.
O Sanaka, The Lord then proceeded to us, Guru Jangala, Panchala, Panchala, Surasena, the land on the bank of the river Yamuna, Brahmavarta, Kurukshetra, Matsya, Sarasvata, the province of the desert, and the land of scanty water. After crossing these provinces, he gradually reached the Sauvira and Abhira provinces. Then, west of these, reached Dwarka at last.
Yeah, please read the purport.
The provinces passed over by the Lord in those days were differently named, but the direction given is sufficient to indicate that he traveled through Delhi, Punjab, Rajasthan, Madhya Pradesh, Saurashtra, and Gujarat, and at last reached his home province at Dwarka. We do not gain any profit simply by researching the analog provinces of those days up to now, but it appears that the desert of Rajasthan and the provinces of scanty water like Madhya Pradesh were present even 5,000 years ago. The theory of soil experts that the desert developed in recent years is not supported by the statements of Bhagavatam. We may leave the matter for expert geologists to research because the changing universe has different phases of geological development. We are satisfied that the Lord has now reached his own province, Dwarka Dham, from the Kuru provinces. Kurukshetra continues to exist since the Vedic age, and it is sheer foolishness when interpreters ignore or deny the existence of Kurukshetra.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much. So, purport is very clear. So, this is how the Lord travels, and then we will see what he does at each place. In text 36, Tatra tatra hatat pratyaye hari pratyodataranha sayam bheje disham paschat bhavishro gamgatastada. On his journey through these provinces, he was welcomed, worshipped, and given various presentations. In the evening, in all places, the Lord suspended his journey to perform evening rites. This was regularly observed after sunset. So we can read the entire purport. Sangeeta Mataji, would you like to read again?
Yes. It is said here that the Lord observed the religious principles regularly while he was on the journey. There are certain philosophical speculations that even the Lord is under the obligations of fruitive action. But actually, this is not the case. He does not depend on the action of any good or bad work. Since the Lord is absolute, everything done by him is good for everyone. But when he descends to the earth, he acts for the protection of the devotees and for the annihilation of the impious non-devotees. Although he has no obligatory duty, still he does everything so that others may follow. That is the way of actual teaching. One must act properly himself and teach the same to others. Otherwise, no one will accept one's blind teaching. He is himself the awarder of fruitive results. He is self-sufficient, and yet he acts according to the rulings of the revealed scripture in order to teach us the process. If he does not do so, the common man may go wrong. But in the advanced stage, when one can understand the transcendental nature of the Lord, one does not try to imitate him. This is not possible. The Lord in human society does what is the duty of everyone, but sometimes he does something extraordinary and not to be imitated by the living being. His acts of evening prayer, as stated herein, must be followed by the living being. But it is not possible to follow his mountain lifting or dancing with the gopis. One cannot imitate the sun, which can exhaust water even from a filthy place. The most powerful can do something which is all good, but our imitation of such acts will put us into endless difficulty. Therefore, in all actions, the experienced guide, the spiritual master, who is the manifested mercy of the Lord, should always be consulted, and the path of progress will be assured.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So yes, thus end the Bhaktivedanta purpose of the first canto, 10th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Departure of Lord Krishna for Dwaraka. So this purpose is also very clear. So the Lord, everywhere he went, he did not, he performed all the proper rites that he did. So as to set an example for all of us, he did not do it to get something out of them. He did it to set it as an example for all of us. And the second thing is that we are given the instruction that we must follow in the footsteps of the great souls, and the Lord is leading us by example. So now how to follow? Otherwise we will start, you know, some people will take advantage of that and say, okay, I want to follow the acts of mountain lifting or dancing with the gopis and all those things. So in order to learn how to follow also properly, we need the guidance of a spiritual master so that the path of progress is assured, because we all want to progress. We don't want to make mistakes in the part when we are following someone. If we take the dictation of our own mind, then we will fall down. We may make a lot of mistakes. But if we follow the authority, then the authority will teach us how to follow. We can ask them questions on how to follow. I'm confused about this. Do you think this is the right thing for me to do? And then they'll give us, you know, proper guidance on what we should be doing. So that's, these things are important. So we'll start reading the next chapter, Lord Krishna's entrance into Dwaraka. So we read about how the Lord is leaving Dwaraka, leaving Hastinapur for Dwaraka. And we're reading how the devotees are feeling so much separation. And they're giving him a very glorious farewell, right? But they're feeling so much separation. So that is a Vipralamba Bhav, love in separation. And then when the Lord is entering into Dwaraka, we will see how the devotees there are welcoming him and how they are doing everything so nicely. It's such a festival. The next chapter, 1.11.1. Suta Vacha Anartansa Upavrajya Sridhan Janapadan Swakan Dadmau Daravaram Tesham Vishadam Vishadam Samyanniva, Samyanniva. Suta Goswami said, upon reaching the border of his most prosperous metropolis, known as the country of the Anarthas, Dwaraka, the Lord sounded his auspicious conch shell, heralding his arrival and apparently pacifying the dejection of the inhabitants. So now just imagine, the Lord is walking. He is the king of this place. So just before he's at the border, he blows his conch shell. And what is the name of his conch shell? Panchajanya. Right? So he's blowing that conch shell and then heralding the arrival and also pacifying the dejection of the inhabitants. So all these devotees in Dwaraka, all these subjects, were feeling that separation. So now he's blowing that conch shell to tell, I'm here. So please don't feel sad anymore. You know, please don't feel that, you know, you're separate. You're far away from me. I'm right here. So there's not... So Prabhupada writes down, thus the inhabitants of the city of Dwaraka were in a mood of dejection and expected the arrival of the Lord at any moment. Because of intense affection, even one moment of separation was too much for them. So the heralding sound of the auspicious conch shell was very encouraging, and apparently the sound pacified their dejection. They were still more aspirant to see the Lord amongst themselves, and all of them became alert to receive him in the befitting manner. These are signs of spontaneous love of Godhead. So when the Lord blows the conch shell, their intensity of wanting to meet him increases, and they're all trying to do different things, to go, run, and they're feeling so much to see the Lord. So every morning in the aarti time, the conch shell is blown to indicate that now the Lord's darshan, Lord is available for darshan, Lord is going to be available, we're going to get to see the Lord. So then we must think about what we are reading here in this particular chapter and try to develop the same mood as the inhabitants of Dwarka, and also check within ourselves, hey, do I have the same intensity to see the darshan of the Lord, or am I just interested in seeing the color combinations and all those things, or am I like really eager to, oh, I'm so grateful, I want to see the Lord, I want to see what necklace he's wearing, I want to see what anklet he's wearing, I want to see his earrings, I want to see this, I want to see that, because I want to see the Lord and I'm so excited about seeing everything that is there on the Lord. Or are we thinking about which jewelry he is wearing, how this pujari dressed and how that pujari dressed? It can become very technical only. It can become a very head thing. Because, oh, they put the knot like this. Oh, this is how they did the dupatta. This is how they did this. Yeah, it's definitely good. Because you're learning the art of deity dressing and you're focusing your attention over there because you want to learn that. But we want to go higher than that. We want to be really excited about seeing the Lord. We want to be like, wow, they've decorated like this and therefore the Lord is looking beautiful. Connect it back to the Lord, not just leave it as an art of deity dressing. Text 2. The white and fat bald conch shell, being gripped by the hand of Lord Krishna and sounded by him, appeared to be reddened by the touch of his transcendental lips. It seemed that a white swan was playing in the stems of lotus flowers. So now just imagine this beautiful, as you're reading, try to see all of those things with the mind's eye. So the conch shell is white and fat bald, and it's in the beautiful hand of the Lord, and the Lord is playing. And then because his lips are reddish and he's touching the conch shell with his reddish lips, it becomes that this white conch shell looks like a swan surrounded and playing in the stem of red lotus flowers. What a description. Right? Prabhupada writes in the middle of the purport, by ardent love and devotional service to the Lord, or in other words, by spiritual contact with the Lord, everything becomes spiritually reddened like the conch shell in the grip of the Lord, and the Paramahamsa, the supremely intelligent person, plays the part of the ducking swan in the water of spiritual bliss, eternally decorated by the lotus flower of the Lord's feet. Now Prabhupada is, wow, I must read this again. By ardent love and devotional service to the Lord, or in other words, by spiritual contact with the Lord, everything becomes spiritually reddened like the conch shell in the grip of the Lord, and the Paramahamsa, or the supremely intelligent person, plays the part of the ducking swan in the water of spiritual bliss, eternally decorated by the lotus flower of the Lord's lotus feet. So now this is one thing that's there in the Bhagavatam, and pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada is giving another analogy here for all of us. So the Paramahamsa, or the supremely intelligent person who serves the Lord very sincerely, he also, because he's completely devoted to the Lord, he becomes like that conch shell and in the water, the swan in the water of spiritual bliss. So it seems that a white swan was playing in the stems of the red lotus flowers. So the Paramahamsas also, because they're in so much contact with the Lord, they become like that conch shell or that white swan, playing eternally decorated by the lotus flower of the Lord's lotus feet. Beautiful analogy. Text 3.
Tam upasrutya ninadam jagat bhaya bhayavaham pratyudyayo praja sarva bhartra darshana lalasa.
So now they're talking about the eagerness of the Lord, of the citizens of Dwaraka. So the citizens of Dwaraka, having heard that sound which threatens fear personified in the material world, began to run towards him fast, just to have a long desired audience with the Lord, who is the protector of all devotees. So they started running, because the Lord is over there. As already explained, the citizens of Dwaraka, who lived at the time of Lord Krishna's presence, they were all liberated souls who descended there along with the Lord as his entourage to facilitate his pastimes, to serve in his pastimes. So now, because they were liberated souls and they were devotees, and they were feeling that separation from the Lord, they were very anxious to have an audience with the Lord. It's like, suppose your cell phone is missing from your hand, right? All the time you'll keep wondering, where is my cell phone, where is my cell phone? When you get the cell phone back, you're like, wow, I got it. Now that's a very mundane example, but that's how we are. We are attracted to all of these things. But the citizens of Dwaraka have that same greater level of attraction for the Lord. There is one verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, and if I remember, I'll pull it out for all of you. It says that the spiritualist's desire for devotional service should be much greater than the materialist's desire for sense gratification. Then we have some chance for advancement. So we are attracted to a lot of things of this world. In order to be fit on for the spiritual path, we must work very hard to develop a greater attraction for the Lord and his service and the service of his devotees than the attraction we have for all the spiritual things, material things. And actually the verse also says that the desire, okay, it's actually like this. The desire of a devotee to serve other devotees is much greater Then a materialist desire to enjoy sense gratification. Now I remember that is in the pastime of King Prithu, where he is serving the four Kumaras, and how the four Kumaras come and the king leaves everything and goes runs to serve them. So we must develop that thing, right? And Prabhupada writes down that how the citizens of Dwarka were in a state of melancholy due to the Lord's absence. So when the sound heralded by Lord Krishna was something like the heralding of the sunrise in the morning. So all the citizens of Dwarka, Jeeva Jago, awoke from a state of slumber because of the sunrise of Krishna. As Prabhupada is so poetic in the previous verse also and in the next verse also. And then Prabhupada writes down that the material existence of our present status is full of fear because we don't have enough faith. Out of the four problems of material existence, namely the food problem, shelter problem, fear problem and mating problem, the fear problem gives us more trouble than the others. We are always fearful due to our ignorance of the next problem. The whole material existence is full of problems and thus the fear problem is always prominent. This is due to our association with the illusory energy of the Lord, because we don't realize that we are complete in our relationship with the Lord. We try to find that completeness in material things, and matter can never make you feel complete. You can only feel complete when you are with the Lord. So the Lord completes us like that. So therefore we must chant Hare Krishna. So when we chant Hare Krishna, all fear is vanquished as soon as there is a sound of the Lord represented by His holy name, as it was sounded by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the following 16 words. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we can take advantage of these sounds and be free from all threatening problems of material existence. Texts 4 and 5. Tatrupanita balayo ravir deepam ivadrita atmaramam purnakamam nijalabhena nityada priti utpulla mukha prochur harsha gadgadaya gira pitaram sarvasuhridam avitaram ivarbhaka. The citizens arrived before the Lord with their respective presentations, offering them to the fully satisfied and self-sufficient one, who by his own potency incessantly supplies others. These presentations were like the offering of a lamp to the sun. Yet the citizens began to speak in ecstatic language to receive the Lord, just as wars welcome their guardian and father. So now these citizens are so happy that the Lord is there, then they get together things so that they can offer him something when he comes there, like to show their gratitude and love. So Prabhupada is telling, Bhagavatam is telling that these presentations were like the offering of a lamp to the sun. Yet the citizens began to speak in ecstatic language to receive the Lord, just as wards welcome their guardian and father. Of course, whatever we have received has been received from the Lord Himself. But they are still showing their gratitude by offering it to the Lord. And the Lord is so, and another analogy here is, the presentations are like an offering of the lamp to the sun. So the sun is so luminous itself that there is no need to offer any thing to the sun. You know, you're not going to increase the luminosity of the sun by offering a lamp to them. But we still offer, right? As Prabhupada writes down, anything in the middle of the first paragraph, towards the end of the first paragraph, anything fiery and illuminating is but an emanation of the energy of the sun. And yet to worship the sun god, it is necessary to offer him a lamp. In the worship of the sun, there is some sort of demand made by the worshipper. But in the case of devotional service to the Lord, there is no question of demand from either side. It is all a sign of pure love and affection between the Lord and the devotee. So the Lord is the supreme father of all living beings. Now when we've read this statement so many times, He is the supreme father of all living beings. You know, you must take a minute to think about what this statement means to you. That living being being talked about is you and me. So the Lord is my supreme father. Just think about that. I'll give you a minute to think about that. What does this statement mean to you? He's my father. And therefore, those who are conscious of this vital relation with the Lord can make filial demands from the Father. And the Father is pleased to supply the demands of such obedient sons without bargaining. So it's not that you just keep making demands, I need this, I need that, I need that. No, we also got to be obedient. The Lord is just like the desire tree, and from Him everyone can have everything by the causeless mercy of the Lord. As a supreme Father, the Lord, however, does not supply to a pure devotee what is considered to be a barrier to the discharge of devotional service. So It's not that whatever you ask, you'll get. If he sees that that is a barrier to your devotional service, he won't give it to you. So him not giving us something is also mercy. There was a presentation made by Radhika, Nam and Mohini Sundari. And in that, there was a nice conversation between God and a man. And then the man said, "You don't always answer my prayers." So God tells him, "Sometimes the answer is no." So even in not answering the prayers, that itself is the answer. That is good for you. So those who are engaged in the devotional service of the Lord can rise to the position of unalloyed devotional service by His transcendental action. So we won't go to the next verse today. I want like the next 15 minutes or some thinking on our own, some introspection that I want all of us to cultivate as a part of our daily spiritual practice. How are we thinking about all of these things? So here is the statement about let me think. Okay, so here the Lord is the Supreme Father. We just read this statement. So think about this and then we'll have a discussion for those who are willing to share. So here the Lord is considered as our Supreme Father, right? That's what the text is telling you. How much in your life have you started cultivating this thought process that the Lord is my Supreme Father? Like in what all situations are you trying to tell that to yourself? And are you trying to change the course of your life by telling that to yourself? And if the Lord is our Supreme Father, and we want to engage in unalloyed service to that Supreme Father, so the first thing is relationship. First thing is to develop that relationship that, oh, He's mine, I'm His. The second thing is, so if I want to develop unalloyed devotional service to Him, then what is the one step I can take today? I know I got to do a lot of 100 things to work upon myself, but what is that one thing that I want to work upon so that I can become a little bit more unalloyed in my devotional service to Him? Of course, we have a long way to go. We have a lot of things to work upon, but at least there's one thing I want to do for this next 1 month. There's one quality I want to develop, or there's one bad quality I want to give up so that my devotional service to my Father can become unalloyed. So I want you all to think about it, and I will also share what I feel. Spend some time thinking about this. All right. Any people who want to share? So the question was, how much in our lives are we trying to think that the Lord is my Father? Or in any recent situation where we were able to think like that, where it gave us so much relief and so much solace and so much happiness and so much freedom, even if the situation didn't go the way we wanted to. And if He's really our Supreme Father, and I really consider Him like that, then what is that one thing I want to work upon right now so that I can go one step further in developing unalloyed devotional service for Him? Would anyone like to volunteer sharing? I mean, you all have such experiences, just that I'm asking you to call it out, because when you speak about it, then it ingrains more into your own heart. Okay, I'll go first. So, where have I felt that the Lord is the Supreme Father? So while I was reading the statement and I was doing this exercise with all of you, I realized I don't think like that all the time. And even if I'm able to think like that, it's I can think like that about the Lord's representatives. I don't think about the Lord that much like that. But in many situations, like say when you know, when there are changes in life, either something that I caused, I mean I caused in the sense that something that I desire to do and I caused those changes, or when the changes happened as a part of the Lord's plan, and changes are difficult, changes can be stressful. Somehow I always felt that, you know, the Lord is my Father and He is going to do something that is good for me. Whether the answer is no or yes, in both cases there is reciprocation and it's going to be good for me. So I felt very safe and very protected like that. So even if I was in like some extremely difficult situations, I somehow felt that no, but this is, nothing is happening without the Lord's divine arrangement, and He's my Father, He loves me, and if He's doing something, even if it's very difficult for me right now, I know it is for my benefit. And it has been tailor-made so that it can help me grow in devotional service. So when I think like that, that He's my Supreme Father, I feel very loved as a person. And when I feel loved, I realize that everything is going to be good. You know, I just want to develop the right attitude of obedience. And the second thing was, we were discussing about unalloyed, how can I become a little bit more unalloyed than I am right now. There is one thing I want to work upon. It's a... with the blessings of all of you, I think I'll be able to work upon it. I really need your blessings and prayers. I want to reduce this thing that I have about judging devotees. I think I judge devotees because I want to evaluate every situation and every person to know whether it's safe for me or not. Whether I'll be, you know, whether if I engage too much with that person, will it be a difficult situation for me or not. And then I was just thinking that if the Lord is my Supreme Father, then He's going to take care of me. So I don't want to judge people. I want to be loving towards everyone and really be of service, because if I judge somebody, I can't serve the Vaishnavas. And the only way for me is to serve the Vaishnavas, because it's pleasing to the Lord. So I want to please the Lord and I want to please the Vaishnavas, and I can please them and serve them only if I reduce my judgmental attitude, because if I judge somebody, I can't serve them properly, and it'll still be a material thing. So I want to reduce this judging aspect that I have, and I want to withdraw from that, knowing very well. So next time I see myself do that, I'm going to remember all of you, that I made this confession in front of all of you, and remember that I am answerable to all of you. And next time I have this thing, tendency to judge, then I'm going to go deep down within and think about why in this situation do I want to judge this person? What inside of me is causing me, you know, what need of mine am I trying to satisfy by judging this person? And, you know, putting them in some bucket. What am I trying to do here? What material need of mine I'm trying to satisfy? Because if I judge the Vaishnavas, I can't serve them properly. And if I judge the Vaishnavas, I will judge Krishna also. So that's why I'm not getting entrance into back to Godhead, because I have this judging nature. And I'll start judging Krishna also, because Krishna is also a person. The way I treat people here, I'll treat Krishna also in the same way. So please give me your blessings so that I can develop. I mean, I have a lot of things to work upon, but this is one thing I want to try. So thank you very much. Would anyone else like to share or say something? Or I start calling people. Yes, Haribol. Nisha, would you like to share something? Oh, okay, you're busy. yeah, we get it. Is Guna Rupini there on the call?
Yes, Mataji.
Would you like to share something?
I can share the first part. Recently, during this Ram Navami festival, that mm-hmm. time, I don't know, when I read the email about the services, you know, given to the devotees. So, this was the previous day before Ram Navami. So, I think somewhere in my heart, you know, I was having that feeling, you know, that I want to Lord, when will I get the chance to do aarti for the Lord, you know? I never get those chances. So somewhere it was there in my mind or somewhere it was there in my heart. But I was like, okay, I'm still not there, you know? I just stole to my mind. And then next day when it was Ram Navami and I went to the near the temple, you know, the back side of the room to keep my bag, you know? And then Braj Govind Prabhu called me and said, Mataji, you have to do aarti. I was completely shocked, you know, at that time. Mm-hmm. I was like, Lord, I mean, you were really, how would you listen, you know? So I was just praying and I was just, somewhere in my heart it was there and, you know, you fulfilled my desire. I was so happy that day. I mean, I could not believe that really I'm going to do aarti. I mean, I was really, and that day, I also had an experience that, you know, whenever I do aarti, I cannot blow the shank because it's like very hard for me to blow shank. And that day I was able to blow shank also. That's like two things happened simultaneously. I was so happy. And at that time I realized, you know, that I am doing nothing, you know. I'm not even doing a single service to you with so much love and affection. But still you are reciprocating with me so much love, you know. I was almost feeling like crying over there. I mean, that much love I was feeling that time, the reciprocation I was feeling at that time for the Lord, you know. But still, I have to develop that faith. Somewhere I'm lacking the faith. I'm not having faith. Because there are a lot of experience which I had, you know, that Lord is really taking care of me so much. But still, I am not, when some critical situation comes, I don't have faith on Lord. So I want to work upon that. But that how can I develop more faith to the Lord?
Hari Bol, thank you for sharing. Wonderful. So happy for you. Hare Krishna. Yes, anyone else? I mean, we know who's on the call because we get the report in the email. So those of you who are at work or with babies, we understand. But we would really appreciate if some of you can share because it helps all of us, like how Gunarupani is sharing. It helps us, right? Next time when we are in that situation. So if anyone would like to share, that would be very nice.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Yes, Hari Bol Anupriti. Please go ahead.
Actually, whenever I go to temple, I wish that, I see that everyone is, means all the devotees are dancing. Means I am going from last 2-3 years, means going to temple. And every time I see that, oh, everyone is dancing. I wish that I could dance, but you know, that there are very simple steps, means everyone is dancing. But I was not getting it. So one day my husband, there was some kirtan, right? I think one month ago. So my husband went there and he I don't know, he somehow learned the steps and then he came from there and he taught me that, you know, and this is the step, means just the three step like that, means just you have to go here and there. It was very simple and I was not getting it. But every time I go to temple, I wish that I could dance, but I was not able to dance, you know. So he taught me at home that this is the step. But then again I went to temple on Sunday. I wish that I could dance, but I was feeling shy, you know. Then one Sunday my daughter hold my hand. When there was party was started, then somehow my daughter hold my hand and she took me in front of Krishna, where every lady is dancing. So I don't know on that day how my legs were moving. Then I started dancing with everybody. That day I was very happy that how my legs are moving, how my hands are moving.
I was.
And from that day, from last 2-3 Sunday, I am going to temple and I like to dance with everybody. So I think that from that day, I think that Krishna always listened to me. I had desire from last 2-3 years, you know. I want to dance, but I could not dance. I feel shy or something. But on that day, when I started to dance, I have some faith on Lord Krishna. That is the faith, but you know, just like my Guru Purnima Tanti told, is telling that whenever I am in some worried or something like that, On that time, I'm not feeling faith on Lord Krishna. On that time, I forget Krishna and just started to blaming sometimes my husband or sometimes to my parents that it happens due to you. Means you have done this. This is my demerit that on bad situation, I have no faith on Krishna. That is my demerit. So I want to increase faith on Krishna in bad situation also, in worst situation also. In bad situation, I started to cry and I don't want to listen anybody about Krishna or anything. I just forgot Krishna on that time.
Yeah.
Big demerit.
No, but it happens to everyone. So that's why we have each other to remind. And no, Krishna, even when he's not reciprocating for us the way we want him to reciprocate, it's still good for us. He is our father. Right? But wonderful to hear. So now everyone has to dance with Anukriti. And now she's going to teach us all the new steps of how to dance for Krishna.
No, I am not learning a step. I was not getting that step also. So I wish I could dance where I always go to temple and see everybody is dancing. But I was not able to dance. So that day I feel that
Krishna
fulfilled my one desire.
Yes, very nice to hear this thing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. See,
I was very happy that day. Really, I was very happy.
Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
So it's so wonderful. We've heard two nice experiences of different devotees and it increases our own faith. Would anyone like to share? Anyone else like to share something?
Hari Bol Maharaji, Shweta here.
Yes, Hari Bol Shweta. Please go ahead.
Sure, I can share some. There are many examples in my life. I think one of the biggest I would like to share is so I came to Seattle on the Visa H4. I think everyone,
yes.
That's the H4 India. So it's like, it was difficult for me to accept the fact that I have to stay at home and, you know, do nothing. I mean, seriously. But I mean, I started volunteering and stuff, but it was not giving me that much of a happiness. So I realized that I think Krishna has put me in this situation just because he wants me to excel in Krishna consciousness. And I mean, this free time which he has given me is to help, to serve him and to do more of chanting, which I was not doing before. And then I actually, it took me like almost 6 months to accept this fact, and it took me 6 months to start believing that yes, it is because of Krishna that I'm here, and I'm put in this situation. So although it took me a little bit of a time, but when I started accepting the fact, Krishna just started, you know, opening doors for me. I think now I am much more busy than anyone, I think, who is also working. So it's like when I left everything on him, everything falls in place. And now I'm so happy with whatever I am. I mean, I don't feel frustrated or being on H4 is really bad. I think I'm going to miss this life. Because I get to, you know, first, I get to, you know, chat more. And I get to, basically, it's my liberty. I can do anything, anytime. I mean, I can do, basically, come to temple any time of the day. So it's like, I think it's about accepting the fact, accepting what you have in the situation and, you know, converting it as Krishna's mercy on you. And he would have put me in some other difficult situation, but, I mean, he is so nice that he could put me in this situation where I actually got to enjoy my married life as well as, you know, explore myself and excel in Krishna consciousness. So I'm very thankful to him and grateful, and I think I'll keep chanting more and more. I think now it's become a routine for me that I have to chant so and so many rounds. And I think even when I start working, although my visa is applied and all that, so even as I start working, that's once you make it as a habit, habits so kabhi jaati nahi hai. So it's like now chanting is my habit now. So I think I'll keep doing it all the time, and I'm thankful to him for giving me this happiness even when I'm frustrated.
Hari
yeah.
Bol. And also, to those who don't know, when Shweta got married and came here, her wedding was arranged by the family, but it was so nice. What a wonderful arrangement by Neela Madhav. that the house her husband had bought much before marriage was in Issaquah. And she didn't know that.
Yes.
But when she got married and she came to know that the house was also so close to the temple. So it's very, very wonderful.
Although he is not a devotee, but I think it's all arranged by Krishna that, you know, it's all arranged marriage, first of all, and, you know, you can say in the right word, it is arranged by him. my husband got the house way before we got married. So I think, and it is so close to the temple, and I think that's all his mercy.
Hari Bol. So Krishna takes care. We worry and we fear, as Prabhupada was telling. Fear is the biggest problem we have. But as we develop faith in Krishna and as we increase our devotional service to Krishna and we hear about Krishna, then that fear will go away. Because we will see Krishna is making so many arrangements in so many people's lives. And we will learn how to see how he is making arrangements in our lives also. So we don't need to be worried. We just need to do our service very nicely. So thank you all very much. Grantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And from the last class, I have started uploading the lectures, like what our discussions, in the resources tab of the Facebook page, and it's also a Google Drive link. So you all can access it over there for posterity's sake. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.